And I know that his best friend is Comey, who's a bad cop. And I know that there are other things, obviously. You know, I had a business transaction with him that I've reported many times that you people don't talk about.
Yeah, there you go. President talking about the Mueller report and when it's going to be released. And he even said yesterday he doesn't mind if the report is made public. So that's going to be an interesting turn of events there. I don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know yet. We keep hearing reports that the offices have been cleared out. We're all waiting to see, right? The president's waiting to see. But he's clearly convinced at this point that whatever it is not that bad or not going to be that bad. Or, you know, he's not worried about what the outcome of it is. And he's like, look, if you got to release it, release it. It's going to go to Bill Barr first, and then we'll find out what's going on. Hey, welcome back. We got lots going on for you this hour. We're going to talk to Virginia Cruda coming up shortly at around 7:37 this morning. She's, of course, writes for the Daily Caller, and she got a great piece in there about, Kamala Harris, for example. Go to cut, before I talk about this, go to cut 15 for me, please. I'm sorry, cut 5.
Do away with the Electoral College. Is that, do you agree with that?
I think that I'm open to the discussion. I mean, there's no question that the popular vote has been diminished in terms of making the final decision about who's the president of the United States, and we need to deal with that.
What the hell is she talking about? Are these people just detached from reality? So Virginia's got a great article on the fact that at least four of these ideas that are now being endorsed by people who want to be president of the United States in the Democratic Party would require amendments to our Constitution. So they're not even something they would have the power to do, but they're willing to say or promise anything to try to cement the crazy lefties in their progressive base. That's kind of where we are in America. So I'm going to get Virginia Cruda on here about 7:37 this morning, to be exact. We'll talk about that. At 8:35 or so, we're going to talk to Chris Wallace from Fox News Sunday. And I'm interested to get Chris's reaction to a number of events in the news right now. The president's reaction to John McCain, number one. Number two, some of the stuff that we heard out of Ted Koppel, pointing out the obvious bias in the New York Times and the Washington Post. That seemed to shock the establishment at CNN that he would dare to say something like that. They're offended by it. I want to know what Chris Wallace's take on it. So I'm going to ask him at around 8:37 this morning. Stay tuned for that. We're going to get to all of that and more. We'll get to your phone calls, 314-241-9797. But right now, let me get to my guest. She is Congresswoman Ann Wagner from the 2nd Congressional District and up and at 'em early this morning. Ann, good morning.
I am on my second cup of coffee. Good morning, Mark. And I'm sitting at my little island in Baldwin, and I can't wait to talk to your listeners and to you.
We're doing fine. Glad we caught you. So you're on your spring break right now, too, right?
Well, not exactly a spring break, I'll say, but let me tell you, the break is getting to breathe the wonderful fresh air of Missouri's 2nd Congressional District. With the shutdown and everything else, this first quarter, we've spent way too much time in Washington, and it is awesome to be working back in the district. So
I'll bet it is. And that's one thing that I wanted to talk to you about before we get into some of the craziness that's going on in D.C. right now is that, you know, your race in the 2nd Congressional District this last time, I don't know if it surprised people, but, you know, your challenger came out of nowhere, and you face a different constituency in the 2nd Congressional District than it used to be comprised of, in my opinion. So I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's why you've started up this suburban caucus, correct?
That is correct. You know, about 40 of my colleagues who lost on the GOP side were in primarily suburban districts, and I survived it. I ran a different kind of campaign that I think appeals to suburban voters. I know how to do this. It's not just good politics; it's good policy and things that we should be doing and approaching. And I want to make sure that we reach out to these suburban voters especially in my area and beyond, all across the country. So we've resurrected the suburban caucus. This is something that has been dormant, Mark, for 10 years. It did exist some time ago. We just received the approval about a week and a half or so ago. We've got over 25 members signed up. This is on the GOP side. And really, we need kind of a forward-thinking platform that's going to, I think, prioritize what I'm going to call household issues, quality of life issues that empower our families here and strengthen our communities. So that is what this is focused on. And it's interesting. We're going to have a robust policy discussion, put out an agenda, legislative items that we're going to get behind, and that I think are going to really appeal to suburban voters, which is a growing constituency, Mark. I mean, that's why you've got some of the changing demographics. The suburbs across America are growing, and we've got to pay attention to some of their kind of unique needs.
So what, I mean, the genesis behind this has got to be that are you concerned that somebody who runs as too conservative cannot hold this district?
No, not at all. I'm a strong and staunch conservative, but you've also have to put forward agenda items that maybe our conference and we as a Republican team aren't thinking of in a broader sense. And these are issues from, they range everywhere, Mark, from affordable and flexible college and lifelong learning opportunities that people are talking to and access to career and technical education to, you know, volunteer flex work programs, people that want to be able to spend some time, if they choose, voluntarily, not taking the overtime, but you know what, going out to a play practice or a soccer game or to do playground duty, help their parents get to a doctor's appointment, whatever it is. They like work flex time. They like things, they care about health care and affordable health care and pre-existing conditions. Things like, and you know about this, you know, you worked in the financial service industry, saving for their retirement in the future, FSAs, these are the fixed savings accounts. Do you know that those haven't been adjusted, Mark, since 1980? When was the last time that a family paid $5,000 for child care?
Yes.
And that's what it is right now. Those numbers should be lifted to $15,000 and maybe should include dependent care, too, because so many people are also not just, you know, taking care of their kids while they're working, but also maybe their elderly parents, too. I mean, we're going to cover, you know, one of the biggest issues in my district to my suburban voters that concerns them or bugs them or eats away at their quality of life, and it's traffic. 45 minutes commutes or whatever it might be. And we have a nexus there as a federal government. We put a lot of money in through the Highway Trust Fund and back to the Missouri Department of Transportation. There are things that we can really, I think, affect and need to be talking about that are important to suburban voters. Paid family leave, and you and I are going to talk about that when I get ready to drop that. That legislation, telework, I mean, just a lot of things, opioids, human trafficking, yeah, I could go up and down the gamut. And the plan is to come up with an agenda that's member-driven by the members of this caucus and this team to put forward some of these things we can be for. Positive agenda items.
Right, and as conservatives, obviously our number one concern is, you know, if you're increasing people's ability to take deductions, how are you paying for it? I mean, I think the biggest complaint that a lot of us have had in the last 2 years is that we've spent a lot of money, and the Democrats have been allowed to spend a lot of money through the omnibus and other things. We haven't cut very much.
No, we haven't. And, you know, we're seeing some of the effects, positive effects of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. I will say that it may affect up to about $3 trillion of our overall debt this time around. But the deficits are still high, and we're looking forward. The president wants to invest in roads and transportation and infrastructure, and it's always the how do you pay for this? And we do have a responsibility. I mean, I ran the very first time 7 years ago as a budget mom who cared about the future of my children and grandchildren now and what we were leaving behind to them. So these are going to be more incentives, and these are not going to be issues that are onerous on business and small businesses. They're going to be scored at a parallel even level, so that they're not costly to the deficit or the debt. But there are creative ways that we can apply conservative approaches to these kinds of issues that I think are really important to our ever-growing suburban voters. And I want to make sure that we're communicating with them in the right fashion.
Well, I appreciate that. And as you start to roll these out, I hope you'll come back on a weekend and we can chat about them, including the parental leave plan. So we'll yes. We'll have to schedule another 20 minutes to do that.
We will, up here at some point. And I'll tell you, when we get ready to roll it out, we're getting close.
All right.
I'm working with Ivanka Trump and a lot of the senators on this. I think I've got the only conservative approach to a paid parental leave package that's not going to raise payroll taxes and not be a burden on small business owners, but really give everyone an opportunity to spend some time with their family during the very early stages of growing that family. And the likelihood that those folks will return to the workforce, those mothers, if they have some a little bit of time with their newborn infant or adopted child, will have the opportunity to do so and be incentivized to do so. So we'll talk about it when we get ready to roll it out.
We're talking to Congresswoman Ann Wagner, and, you know, I saw Blaine Lutkemeyer at an event in Franklin County last week, and I asked him if he gets combat pay for having to serve on the Financial Services Committee with Maxine Waters and AOC.
He
said no. I said we should push for that.
Yes, we should. I will tell you, I am the number two Republican leader on the Financial Services Committee. I am our ranking member, our Republican leader, Patrick McHenry's vice-ranking member, number two. So I sit with the man who should be chairman and work out kind of the path forward and the battle plan. And it is something. I mean, they've got a number of new Democrat freshmen that are extremely left leaning, like AOC, like Representative Presley, like the chairman Maxine Waters. It's something to behold. And you know, Mark, I do serve as a number two Republican leader on the House Foreign Affairs Committee too, with Congressman McCall, who's our ranking member, and we have Representative Omar, with all of her anti-Semitic leanings, that is still serving on that Foreign Affairs Committee. So I've got them running the gamut. I'd like a little combat pay.
Well, the Democrats are shameless. I mean, I saw where one of the freshman Democrats, who happens to be Jewish, went back home this week as well and spoke to a group of his constituents and apologized to them on behalf of Congresswoman Omar,
yes,
but still supports her staying on that committee. They talk out of both sides of their mouth.
Yeah, they do, and I do not. But you know what? She's going to continue on this bend. I watched her absolutely grill and brutalize the Venezuelan President Trump's Venezuelan envoy. Would be considered an ambassador if we recognized it that high to Venezuela. It was shameful. And, but sometimes, you know, someone said to me, gosh, you know, Congresswoman Wagner, you're the number two on Republican on financial services. You know, how are you going to deal with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? And I said, you know what, maybe I'll just yield her my time. The more she talks, Mark, you know, the bigger hole she digs. So
you know, I've got. It's true. It's like a highlight a minute. She's good for business here on talk radio. That's
and
for
it's
sure.
Not just them. And I will tell you, Nancy Pelosi has her hands full trying to thread this needle and this huge lurch left. And we're not just seeing it among some of these new, they like to call it progressive. I call it socialism that they are professing in this country. But we're seeing it among the, I don't know what we're up to now, dozens and dozens of Democrats that are running for the presidency of the United States of America. I mean, it's everything from this crazy, you know, Medicare for all, which is, as you and I know, health care for none. And I remind people in the second district, my constituents here that I have the privilege of representing, 77% of them, Mark, are on private employer-based health care plans. Those go away, people. They go away if we have this socialized medicine program. And Medicare, which you know our seniors care deeply about and is a good program, it as it exists now will also go away. VA Choice and the VA program will go away. Everything is going to change under this program. Plus, it has a $28 trillion price tag on it when you're talking about debt and deficits. I mean, it's just, yep. I mean, there are things that we have to do to address the cost curve. Things we have to do to protect people's pre-existing conditions. But this program's not the way.
And, you know, I know that sometimes being in Washington, D.C. is almost like being in a parallel universe. But here's what I don't understand. The satirical site, the Babylon Bee, put out a story yesterday that said they're going to revive Che Guevara and run him for president as a Democrat. And several Democrats immediately responded, he's too moderate. Seriously, you've got what, 6-7 United States senators running as Democrats right now who want to ditch the Electoral College, who want to pack the Supreme Court, who want Medicare for all, who want free college for all, a Green New Deal. They don't care how that would impact America.
You know, they lost an election, you know, and just because you lost an election, they are sore losers. They've never gotten over it over 2 years later, and now they want to change the rules. And you know what? Our founding fathers put in the Electoral College for a reason.
Yes.
So that we didn't have coastal elites packed on in these, you know, mammoth cities of New York and San Francisco and Chicago deciding the will of the people. I believe in our electoral college system. I do not believe in 70-90% tax rates. I do not believe in a Green New Deal that also has a price tag of $93 trillion that's going to do away with cars and cattle and, you know, I like my hamburgers and, you know, we all care about our earth. I mean,
sure.
we do. And but there are ways, and I applaud wonderful companies here in the St. Louis region, like Ameren, like Emerson Electric, others. I could go on and on. The new Bayer Monsanto,
sure.
You know, merger. These are companies that are being responsible.
And I'm running out of time here. Listen, I appreciate your time, and look forward to having you on again shortly.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk more. I want to talk about 2020. Tell your listeners. CNN says 71% of this country, CNN, fake news, says that they believe the national economy is in great shape. And I will tell you, looking forward, Republicans are much more energized in this next election than Democrats. So good news on the horizon, I hope.
Hope you're right. Congresswoman Ann Wagner, 2nd Congressional District, thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Take care.
You bet. At Rep. Ann Wagner on Twitter, wagnerhouse.gov. You can check her out there as well. All right, quick break. Virginia Cruda, when we come back on some of the crazy policies the left is proposing for 2020. 314-241-9797.
Today I'm announcing that New Zealand will ban all military-style semi-automatic weapons. We will also ban all assault rifles. We will ban all high-capacity magazines. We will ban all parts with the ability to convert semi-automatic or any other type of firearm into a military-style semi-automatic weapon.
I have only 5 words for you.
From my cold, dead hand.
All right, there you go. That's my word for the my 5 words for the New Zealand Prime Minister. Don't try to sell that crap here. Bernie Sanders is already endorsing her gun grab over in New Zealand. But we did have a modest proposal this morning. Mark the Conservative is willing to endorse the expenditure of public monies for a one-way ticket to New Zealand for any crazy liberal who wants to go live there. Feel free.
Seems like a generous offer.
I think it's pretty generous of me. I'm just thinking out loud here. But, you know, because I'm totally opposed to something like that, generally speaking. But if you really think that you would rather live in a place where you have no ability to defend yourself, feel free to go now. And don't burden us anymore with your face. How about that? I don't want to look at you.
You take your face and you get out of here.
Take your face and go. Take it. Leave. All right. Invited our friend Virginia Cruda to join us this morning. Of course, she's a columnist for the Daily Caller, dailycaller.com. She's an editor and a columnist for them. Virginia, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Glad I don't live in New Zealand.
No kidding. Thank God. You know, I said this morning, one more reason for us to take a moment this morning and be thankful for the geniuses who founded this country 240 years ago. They foresaw these sorts of problems, and they gave us the Second Amendment to protect all the rest of them.
Yeah, what gets me is the number of people who live in this country who are supposed to be defending the Constitution. Like, that's what they've taken an oath to do. And they're saying, why can't we do what New Zealand did? I'm like, well, have you read the Constitution?
Because yeah.
The Second Amendment tells you why you can't do that.
Exactly. Yeah, they want to change that. And speaking of things that a bunch of the 2020 Democrat presidential candidates would like to change, that they've either proposed that they would change or that they have endorsed because somebody else beat them to the draw and came up with the idea first, there don't seem to be any limits as to what they're willing to do to appeal to their progressive base.
Right. Well, Obama brought us hope and change in 2008, and apparently the 2020 Democrats are bringing us change to the Constitution.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is going to be like a slogan going forward or what, but yeah, there's a few things that they're talking about changing. And the biggest one, obviously, is the Electoral College, and you've been talking about this. Warren talked about it, and it's not new that Democrats don't like the Electoral College because they still blame the unfair Electoral College for the fact that, you know, George W. Bush won in 2000.
Right.
As opposed, you know, because Al Gore won the popular vote. And of course, they were really loud about it when Hillary lost because obviously it's unfair. And so you've got a few people, the Indiana mayor, and I can never pronounce his last name.
Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah, he was actually, he called for an end to the Electoral College before Warren did, but he didn't do it on the national stage because no one knows who he is.
Yeah, thank you.
He said something when he first announced his race, and he's like, it's not fair that we live in a country, you know, where the person who wins the most number of votes doesn't win the election. I'm like, well, yeah, it is. And the Constitution tells you exactly why it's fair.
Thank you.
I mean, yeah, and anyone, and I, you know, I refer people to the Federalist Papers all the time because they were as, I mean, what most people don't understand is that the Federalist Papers were a series of advertisements. They were selling the Constitution to the general public.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody understood. I mean, there were a lot of people who didn't understand the Constitution as it was written, and that's why they exist. So when people come to me and they don't understand the Constitution, that's where I send them. Because that's how you understand it. You have to... There's more to it than what's written in the Constitution.
Absolutely.
The Constitution's only page long. I mean, there's a limit to how much you can explain in that many words. Now,
well, but
a lot of the things like the Second Amendment, I mean, there was a fight to not have the Bill of Rights included because most of the founders believed this stuff was intuitively obvious.
Oh, boy. Well, right. I'm glad they changed their mind on that.
Yeah. So that's helpful. That's not there. But yeah, the Electoral College is a big one. And there's several other things that they're talking about changing, mainly the Supreme Court. And now a lot of them are talking about court packing, which expanding the Supreme Court, giving every president the right to choose a certain number of justices. And now just expanding the number on the court, all that requires is an act of Congress. That's not, it's been done before. It's not a constitutional amendment. But then you've got guys like Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey, Spartacus, who is wanting to put term limits on the Supreme Court in order to guarantee that each president has a certain number of appointees.
Well,
that would require an amendment.
And yeah, most of these things would require some sort of amendment to the Constitution, two-thirds of the states to ratify. Pretty obvious that those things are not going to happen. And yet you've got people looking into the TV camera and basically making promises that they will work to do those things if they get elected.
The Electoral College is... That scares me because that's a possibility.
Right.
That's something that, I mean, Elizabeth Warren stood on a stage in Mississippi, a state which would absolutely be overrun by New York and California and the Beltway. And they gave her a standing ovation when she said she was going to work to abolish the one thing that makes their votes count.
Right. Yeah. They seem to have they could be completely clueless on it. I'll direct people to your article on this. It's on the Daily Caller, dailycaller.com. Virginia Kruta, thanks for your time this morning.
Absolutely, no problem.
You bet. We'll talk to you again soon at VA Kruta, at VA KRUTA on Twitter there if you want to follow Virginia. And she's got some great common sense stuff there on the Daily Caller. We appreciate it. All right, 314-241-9797. I'm going to get to some more of your phone calls coming up. What say you? We'll talk a little bit more about what happened last night at the Better Together meeting. They had another one, 150 people there. Reports I'm hearing, 90%+ of them were dead set against this boondoggle. I'll tell you why when we come back. What in the world have you guys, what has Zach done to us here?
This voice sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Things I did not know at first. I learned by doing twice. I don't know.
All right, we got to knock this one off the list. Still they want their say.
I got a question for you. Did your girls ever watch Peppa Pig?
Oh, yeah.
All right, listen.
Mummy Pig is dressed as a fireman.
Mummy!
Listen to it again.
Mummy Pig is dressed as a fireman.
Mummy!
There's a British group called the London Fire Brigade that is now claiming that Peppa Pig, which is this British-produced cartoon, if you've never seen it, with these
Hannah loved it.
Scary-looking little pigs with big noses, is sexist.
What?
Because they use language like firemen. And in their opinion, because Peppa Pig referred to mummy dressed like a fireman instead of a firefighter, it will discourage little girls from becoming firefighters.
They're not thinking about that. They don't care.
Boy.
Move on.
No, it says so right here. It says right here that Peppa Pig is sexist and discourages girls from becoming firefighters. The London Fire Brigade says that's the truth.
Ridiculous.
So it must be the truth. They're out of step and they're using out of date, stereotypical, gender specific wording about firefighters. Can you believe it?
Mummy Pig is dressed as a fireman.
Mummy.
Mummy.
Mama Pig is dressed as a fireman.
Hannah would ask me sometimes, why are you wearing your swimming costume? Are we going to get petrol?
Did you hear that story where kids were developing British accents
from watching
that show?
It. Oh, it's really? Very true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hannah would use, she would use their language, not the accent so much, but because they do have different words, like, you know, what do they call the trunk of a car? Some the boot or something like that? And petrol and swimming costume, and she would use their language.
Long as they're not talking about going to their next door neighbor to knock them up.
She never said fireman. I mean, she said
firefighter. That's when you go knock on somebody's door. I'll knock you up later. Have you ever heard that?
Geez.
It's a British term.
No.
I'm serious.
Stop it.
I am serious. All right. 314-241-9797. Hey, there's a beer and oyster festival this weekend. We'll tell you about that. Plus Chris Wallace at 8:37. Stick around.